I was thinking of a reason to excuse myself. Just a minute alone. Then I'd take Zack around the room and introduce him to the people he needed to meet.
Zack, have you partnered with a mortgage broker? Reed asked. Funny you ask. I was talking to Frankie about that on the way here. I haven't, but I was hoping I'd meet one tonight.
Call my assistant next week and set up a time to come in, Reed told him, taking a drink of his scotch.
I'm sure we can find a way to collaborate.
Zack's eyes widened.
That would be great. I'll definitely do that.
Reed is fantastic, of course, I said, turning to face Zack. But there's a few other brokers here I'd like you to meet. You can decide then who might be the best fit for you. The wine was really starting to kick in. I either needed to eat something or stop drinking. The last thing I wanted was to say something I'd regret.
The best broker is right here, Frankie.
There was tension in Reed's voice. Did he think he was doing me a favor by inviting Zack to his office? There was no other reason he would want to work with a junior realtor. I didn't need any favors from Reed, and neither did Zack. A waiter walked by, so I placed my glass on his tray. That's for Zack to decide after he meets your competition. Reed reached into his back pocket and removed his wallet. It was one I'd purchased for him when we'd vacationed in Italy. His initials were engraved in silver on the bottom of the inside flap.
Here's my card, he said. Use it.
His free hand hugged my lower back and dragged me closer to him.
I'm going to steal Frankie for a moment. Please excuse us.
My feet shuffled over the floor as he pulled me away. There's no need.
There's one hell of a need, he said,
interrupting me, but quietly, so only I could hear. His hand had a firm grip on my waist now.
Stop fighting me and smile. People are watching.
I did as he asked, fabricating an expression that wouldn't raise any concern. We came to a stop on the far side of the room, a quiet corner that only included us and several potted bouquets.
What were you doing back there? He asked.
I leaned my shoulder into the wall, wishing I still had my wine.
I wasn't doing anything. That's bullshit. There's no reason you would want Zack to work with anyone but me.
Reed, really?
Let me finish.
He looked down, the lines in his forehead deepening. I could feel the emotion wafting off his body. Something was really bothering him.
You don't have to keep your boyfriend from working with me. I'm not going to destroy his career. I'm an adult. I can handle the fact you're going to date. That doesn't mean I have to like it, but I can accept it if necessary.
I sighed. It wasn't any of his business what Zack was. However, dousing any rumors before they started was smarter than trying to make Reed jealous. He's not my boyfriend. His hardened glare seemed to relax.
For what it's worth, he's too young for you. You need someone more sophisticated. Someone who challenges you.
My hands started to shake. I folded them over my chest to still them. They'd trembled earlier when I was with Derek on the balcony, though that was for quite a different reason.
You, of all people, are giving me dating advice?
He shook his head.
I'm saving you.
I didn't think you knew what that word meant, Reed.
If people find out you're dating Zack, or any subordinate or someone using you to get ahead, they'll talk. Once they start talking, they'll lose respect for you. I don't want that to happen. You've worked too hard to get where you are.
Oh, so suddenly you care how people look at me? But you didn't care when you were naked, fucking someone else.
Don't do this.
A sadness replaced his relaxation. When he exhaled, it was full of pain.
I know what I did. Jesus, Frankie, I know.
I turned and stood as straight as I could. I didn't want to appear weak in front of him.
His eyes pleaded with mine. What do you want from me?
I want you to listen to what I have to say.
He looked down at my waist. I hadn't realized I was gently rubbing my navel. When we both noticed, his eyes flashed with anger and more pain. There's nothing you can say.
Yes, there is. There are things you need to hear. Give me a chance to say them. That's all I ask.
This wasn't the place to have a conversation as important as this. He may have tried to have it before, but I made Bree screen all his calls. Whenever we did talk, it was about our mutual clients, and I cut the conversation before anything else could be discussed.
I need you, Frankie.
A sharp ache slashed through my chest and shot up to my throat. It pounded through my body, matching the rhythm of his fist as he softly tapped it against the wall above my head.
I need you to just listen.
I tried to stop the tears, glancing beyond him to the middle of the room. Derek was there, standing with his hands in his pockets, his eyes scanning every inch of me. His expression sent me a silent promise of protection. One nod, that was all it would take, and he'd be at my side in seconds. My past with Reed had made me question the way Derek had reacted on the balcony. I shouldn't have done that. Reed had never been concerned about my safety. It wasn't in his personality to worry about anything beyond his paycheck. Because of this, I hadn't realized protection was something I craved until Derek had given me a taste of it. Derek, what was he doing to me? The tears were gone. The lump in my throat softened. Desire drummed between my legs instead.
Frankie, Reed said. Look at me.
I glanced between them, lusting for one, knowing the depths of agony the other had made me feel. I could barely breathe. I have to go.
Frankie, wait, please.
His eyes begged as much as his words did. It was too much. And yet it wasn't enough. No apology would make up for the part of me he had killed. I can't. I turned my shoulder and wove around him, moving back into the stream of people. I pushed my way through the crowd, trying to calm my breathing and the confusion that had caused the pit in my stomach to stir. The wine wasn't helping. Reed's expression made it even worse, and so did Derek's invasive watching. I just wanted to get to the bathroom so I could splash some water on my face, rinse my mouth, and fill my lungs without someone demanding something from me. I followed the restroom signs I'd seen earlier, rounding the corner as I stepped into the dark hallway. My heels clicked on the wood floor, and the damp, cool air caused me to shiver. By some stroke of amazing luck, I was alone. There wasn't even a line waiting to enter. As my fingers reached for the knob, a pair of hands circled my waist, and a much taller, hardened body pressed against my back.
Tell me you're okay.
The voice, the intense grip, the scent. My hands trembled again. Derek, I whispered. My body leaned into him instinctively. I'm fine. His hands tightened, and his lips pressed into my shoulder, slowly traveling up the side of my neck. What are you doing? He was making it even harder to breathe.
I'm giving you what you need.
18. Derek. I checked all the door handles in the hallway until I found one that opened and pulled Frankie inside. What looked to be once an office was now a half-empty room, with a desk pushed off to one side and a chair turned upside down. It wasn't romantic or even remotely sexy. It would have to do. I needed to be alone with her. This decision was dangerous. I was teetering on a narrow ledge, so close to breaking the promise I had made to myself. I didn't care. When I looked at her, the need to have her was so much greater than waiting the months it would take before she sold every unit in my building. My attraction to her went beyond the tight little body I was squeezing between my fingers. Frankie's strong personality challenged me. What came out of those beautiful lips weren't words that promised she would fuck me. It was intellect and wisdom, qualities that made me want to fuck her. Her outfit only made her harder to resist. She was usually so covered up, but the dress she wore tonight left very little to the imagination. It still wasn't enough. I wanted to see all of her, the parts hiding underneath that fabric, the way she would look in the morning after her dark makeup had been sweated off. Then, somehow, the memory of her would have to be enough. One night and one morning. That was all I would allow myself to spend with her, or with anyone I fucked. Any more time and feelings started to get involved. Emotions had derailed my plans once. Plans I was reminded of when I had seen Randy on the balcony. And I wouldn't let that happen again. I moved her to the nearest wall and pressed her back against it. Tell me again that you're okay. Reed's name had shown up in Will's research as Frankie's ex. I'd heard they had ended things a year ago, but when she spoke to him, I saw a pain that looked as deep as mine. Had she been betrayed as badly as I had? Really, I'm okay. Because if he hurt you, don't worry about him. She chewed her lower lip. I wasn't worried. I just didn't want the woman who was sandwiched between my hands and body to be thinking about another man at the moment. You care about him. I did at one time, I don't anymore. My thumbs pushed against her cheeks and slid to her chin. When they reached the base of her chest, I started the circuit over. She was soft, delicate. Her body was heating up for me, undoubtedly getting wet for me too. I growled for more, leaning my face into the side of hers. She smelled of coconut and amber, a little bit of brown sugar. She was like a dark, sexy Caribbean night, and right now she was all mine. My hands moved to her neck, holding it tightly enough so she had to face me. Her feet straddled mine. Her hands rested on the edge of my belt. I felt the presence of her fingers, though not her actual touch. She wasn't ready to give it to me. I would change that. With my mouth on her collarbone, I exhaled over her chest. My breath just made you quiver. Can you imagine what my tongue will do? I looked up as her lips parted, her eyes closed, and she moaned. Her body wasn't shaking anymore. It arched forward, touching more of mine. Derek, she whispered when I pulled my mouth away. My hands slid to her rib cage. If you want something, tell me. This is... She paused, and I took my shot. I swept my tongue from one side of her throat to the other. The softest groan came from her lips, lips I would soon be devouring. My fingers brushed the fabric that cut between her tits, my thumbs hovering within that narrow space before they circled her back and teased the top of her ass. I wondered if that small, puckered entrance had been taken, or if it was a virgin hole that would just barely let me in and mold to my cock. Derek, her tongue slid over her bottom lip, then ran along the inside. We can't do this. I expected her to say that. I was her client. But her comment meant nothing. I could feel how much she wanted me. Her heart was racing, her pulse throbbing, her nipples hardening against my chest. My dick rested over her belly button, and she was rocking her body against it. Yes, I replied. We can. My lips lingered in front of hers, waiting for her to give me another no. When it didn't come, I dove into her neck again, my tongue massaging all the way up to her ear, willing her to let go. She needed to submit fully before I took her mouth. And she did. Slowly. She rubbed her cheek against my beard, her lips coming close to it. I knew it intrigued her. She was used to pretty boy Reed, so she'd probably never felt a man's scruff. The sensation of it as it scraped across her nipples or the inside of her thighs. As her fingers glided over my abs, I clenched the hem of her dress and lifted it. No. Her fingers squeezed mine to stop me. Not here. She thought I was going to try and fuck her in this office with a door that wasn't able to lock and hundreds of people on the other side. Sex in public wasn't off-limits, but when I finally felt her pussy curve around my dick, it wasn't going to be in a place like this. "Trust me," I demanded. Her hand moved back to my stomach and I raised her dress farther until it reached the top of her thighs. Gripping the outside of those long, beautiful legs, I picked her up and wrapped them around my waist. I needed her closer, and this was the only way for now. Her panties rested against the top of my zipper, and her hands held the back of my neck as her ankles crossed behind me. She felt so different from anyone else who had been in my arms, unlike any of the other grains I had touched. She was exotic, rare, exquisite. The elusive fucking pink ivory. That's what she was. "Your perfection," I whispered against her cheek. "Derek," she moaned. I pushed her farther against the wall so I could feel her entire body. She had just the right amount of muscle, and her skin was smooth and silky. Our bodies clasped like they'd been carved to interlock. I leaned my face into the dip of her dress, rubbing my nose against the inside of her tits. Her skin was softer there. I licked with the tip of my tongue. She tasted even sweeter. Her hands slid into my hair and pulled it into her grip as her thighs squeezed around me. "Derek," she moaned again. I looked up and sucked a small lobe of her left breast into my mouth, flicking it with the end of my tongue. Her lips parted even more. I wanted to kiss them until they turned red and painful. It wasn't time for that just yet. "I," she caught her breath, "I want..." There it was, the hunger in her eyes, the look that told me she would do anything as long as I continued making her body feel as good as it did. And I would. I hadn't even started yet. "Say it, Frankie. Kiss me." Holding all of her weight with my waist, I leaned into her body, my hands pushing against the wall just above her head. My mouth stopped inches from hers. I licked my lips, taking in the taste of her skin one final time. "Kiss me," she begged. I felt that pulsing hot need that was coming through her panties, though I resisted grinding against her. Her fingers tore at my hair like she was trying to rip it out. When I moved even closer, her eyes shut and her entire body relaxed. My sweet pink ivory was giving me exactly what I wanted. She needed to be rewarded for that. Just as my lips reached hers, the door flew open. Moving so fast, it slammed against the wall. "Frankie?" a man barked. "What the fuck?" She jumped from the noise and gasped when he yelled her name. I glanced over my shoulder to find Reed in the doorway, fists pressed against his sides, anger spewing from that lazy mouth of his. I didn't know how he found us, but I wasn't going to let him hurt her again. He wouldn't even come near her. I'd make sure of that. "Get the hell out of here," I growled. "Derek," Frankie said, wriggling in my arms, "I have to... put me down." She pushed on my shoulders, her legs releasing my waist, her body stiffening to prepare for the drop. I placed her on the ground, and she straightened her dress from all the places I'd invaded. "I told you to get out of here," I said. "What are you going to do?" Reed spat. "Fight me?" I stepped toward him, but Frankie wrapped her delicate fingers around my hand. "Don't, Derek, please don't do anything." Reed didn't have my height or my bulk. That pretty boy didn't know the first thing about getting his hands dirty. It was what I did for a living, and I'd have him on the ground in seconds without losing my breath. "You've turned into Julia," he said to her. "Watch your mouth," I shouted. I wasn't going to listen to him compare her to a whore. "Say the word, Frankie, and he's out of here." I wanted nothing more than to knock that disgusted look off his face. "Reed!" She dropped my arm, her skin turning even more flushed. "It's not what it looks like. This is the first..." "Frankie, you don't have to explain yourself," I said. "You're screwing developers now?" Reed hissed. "In some office at the gala when everyone out there is waiting to talk to Boston's top realtor?" "No," she said. "That's not what I was doing." You used to be so much classier than this. I didn't have to tell him to get the fuck out a third time. He did that on his own, slamming the door behind him. Frankie stared at the ground, her arms wrapped around her waist, her fingers rubbing her stomach. Fuck him. She looked up slowly, her shame cutting me off. No, he's right. The lust that had filled her eyes was gone. The heat that dripped from her body was already cool again. Her fingers went to her neck and cheeks and throat, wiping them as if she was trying to remove the evidence that my mouth had been all over her. She glanced at the wall I'd held her against. She was fighting her thoughts. He's not right. You know that. Those pain-stricken eyes met mine. My reputation in this industry is flawless. I almost ruined that. I wouldn't let that happen. She took a few steps toward the door. Derek, I'm sorry, but I can't do this. That was the last thing she said before she walked out the door. She could say anything she wanted, go anywhere she wanted. But I'd read her body. I'd felt her heat. I'd tasted the thickness of her desire as it had seeped from her skin. She was out of her fucking mind if she thought I'd let her go that easily. To be continued.
Unblocked. Episode 2. 1. Frankie.
What can I get you to drink? The bartender asked.
I wrapped my hands around the edge of the bar and scanned the rows of liquor bottles. Alcohol was the only thing that would help calm my breathing. There was nothing at this party that would lessen the redness that filled my cheeks, or the throbbing between my legs. Those would only be taken care of after I got home, tumbled into an icy shower and rubbed against the two fingers I would plunge inside me.
Something strong, I replied. Coming right up.
I had bolted so quickly out of the office that Derek and I had been in. I was just now processing what had led up to my departure. As the events began to unfold in my mind, it really started to hit me. Less than a minute before, Derek and I had been holed up in an abandoned office near the restrooms, a secret refuge from the schmoozing crowds of the industry party we were at. He had pinned me to a wall, wrapped my legs around his waist, and touched me with an intense passion. His fingers, his mouth, his powerful tongue had all caressed my skin in the most tantalizing way. And when his lips finally hovered above mine, ready to deliver a first kiss I'd been so desperately waiting for, my ex stormed into the office.
"You're screwing developers now," Reed shouted. "In some office at the gala when everyone out there is waiting to talk to Boston's top realtor. You used to be so much classier than this. You've turned into Julia."
As if the rest of it hadn't been insulting enough, Reed compared me to Julia Hayes, the realtor known for screwing her way into contracts. I wasn't her, and I hadn't screwed anyone to earn my sales achievements. Not even Derek Block. But I had wanted to screw Derek in that office. Not because I wanted to get the contract to sell all the units in his building, Timber Towers, but because my need to have him trumped my desire to remain professional. Because Derek made me feel sexier and more desired than I had ever felt before. The bartender placed an empty tumbler in front of me and poured a shot of amber liquid into it.
"Bourbon. 90 proof," he said.
I held the glass to my lips, tilted my head back, and swallowed.
The burn was startling.
"Another." He refilled the glass, and I shot it down my throat again.
"One more?" he asked.
I'd already had at least a bottle of wine. Unless I wanted to spend tomorrow with my face in the toilet, it was best that I stop.
"No, thanks. 2 is my limit."
I grabbed some cash from my purse, dropped a few bills into the tip bucket, and heard a woman say from somewhere behind me,
"Stop partnering with Frankie."
Her voice was irritating and familiar. I turned and saw Julia standing next to Reed. They were no more than 10 feet away, and with their backs to me,
They hadn't realized I was at the bar. Like I said earlier, Reed, Julia continued, Frankie's reign is only temporary. You know that's true, and I'm going to prove it when I land the deal with Block Development. I'm so close to securing that contract, I can practically taste it. And when I do, think of all the business it'll bring you. There are over 150 units in that building, and many of the tenants will be seeking mortgages. Julia wanted to partner with Reed Reynolds, the most successful mortgage broker in the state. Despite our breakup, Reed was still my partner, and she wanted Block Development, which was my contract. At least all of that had been true before I left Derek in that office. Now I wasn't sure where I stood with either of these men. I changed my mind, I said, turning to face the bar again. Fortunately, the bartender hadn't gone far, and his hands were free. I'll take you up on that third shot.
You got it.
My throat was used to the burn now, and I drank it without choking. When I put down the glass, I felt someone at my side.
I've been looking everywhere for you.
It was Zach, a junior broker at our agency, and the date my assistant had secured so I wouldn't have to attend this party alone.
Would you like one too?
The bartender asked Zach, holding up the bottle of bourbon. Zach glanced at the bottle, then at the glass I had placed on top of the bar.
No, I'm good. Let me know if I can get you anything else, miss,
the bartender told me. I tried to focus on Zach's face, but the alcohol was really beginning to kick in.
I got a chance to talk to Reed again, Zach said. I think he'll make a great collaborator.
Reed may have been one of the stars at this party, but I was tired of hearing his name. You know I want you to weigh all your options before you make a decision. Zach leaned into the bar, setting his glass next to mine.
Reed is the type of partner who can take my career to the next level.
That may have been true, but there was no way it would happen. Zach was too junior level, his portfolio far too small to seriously interest Reed. He'd be passed off to one of the lower-level brokers at Reed's firm, at best. Did you get to speak to any other brokers tonight? I asked.
A few, but none were as impressive as Reed.
Of course they weren't. Reed had a way of luring you in and making you believe he was the best of everything. He had me believing that for years. It had taken me a long time to realize the truth about him.
I'm sure you agree with...
Zach's voice trailed off as Julia and Reed joined us, standing to the side of me. Frankie, sweetie, Julia cooed in her falsely sweet tone. I'm surprised you're still here.
I'm surprised by that myself, Reed said.
I thought you'd leave once you found out Derek was giving me his listing. I could feel the hatred in her gaze, and it bore through me. I took a deep breath and turned toward them. The look on Reed's face told me the scene he had walked in on earlier was still very fresh in his mind. It was fresh in mine, too. So Derek has signed your contract? I asked. Not yet, love, she said. But he will be soon. Very soon.
Has he signed yours? With a pen? Reed asked me.
I ignored him, keeping my gaze directly on Julia. I wouldn't go around telling everyone you have his listing, Julia. No one likes a cocky agent, especially one who hasn't sealed the deal. Sparring with someone as catty as Julia wasn't my style. The second shot of bourbon was obviously working its way through my body and finding a path to my mouth. I was tired of looking at her smug face, so I turned away and spotted Derek immediately. He stood on the other side of the bar, talking to a developer I had worked with in the past. With his attention focused elsewhere, I had a chance to admire him. The beard that covered his square, defined jaw. The way his large, dominant hands moved. The shape of his lips as he spoke. He made me wet, even from all the way over there. He turned his head my way, our eyes slowly meeting. The look he sent me was calling me closer. Cocky? Julia mimicked, bringing me back to the circle we had formed. If anyone would know about cock, it would be you, Frankie. The woman who's definitely sucked his. She pointed at Reed. And probably his, too. She pointed at Zack.
You're way out of line, Zack said to her. Frankie hasn't done anything like that. She's my boss.
You don't need to defend her, dear, Julia said. With a mouth like hers, she can certainly handle herself.
Julia, Reed said.
My attention drifted to him. Our relationship had ended in such a volatile and reckless way, but there had been so much love between us at one time. Enough for me to think he'd do more than just plead Julia's name. He should have had my back, stepped up to put her in her place. But Reed didn't care about anything other than money. Derek wasn't anything like him. He would have stood up for me. He'd given me a taste of his protection earlier in the night when Randy, some man I'd never seen before, had approached us on the balcony. Even just a quick glance had reminded me of what I wanted, what I craved. His hands, his mouth. I couldn't go there again. He and I had to keep things professional, which meant the only mouth I needed right now was my own.
If it's a cock-sucking contest we're having, Julia, then I concede to the queen. You might want to wipe your chin before you make your next conquest.
I heard Zack laugh as I bowed in her direction.
Now if you'll excuse me.
I stepped toward Reed and felt his hand on my arm. I shook it off firmly. His chance to touch me whenever he wanted had passed long ago. I ignored Derek entirely and walked to the front of the ballroom. I remembered once I reached the lobby that Zack had checked our jackets. I didn't want to take the time to ask him for the ticket, so I held the top of my dress to make sure my breasts wouldn't fall out and ran through the door. Norm, my driver, was parked outside in the company SUV. The back seat was locked, so I knocked on the window to let him know I was there.
"Ms. Jordan,"
he said, stepping from the car and joining me on the curb.
"I wasn't expecting you so soon."
"I'm not feeling good. Could you give me a ride home and then come back to pick up Zack? He'll probably stay until the party's over."
"Yes, of course."
He opened the back seat door and helped me inside.
"Hang tight. I'll get you home in no time."
I fastened my seatbelt, took out my phone, and started a new email. I'd noticed Zack had checked his email several times during the party. I didn't have his number to text him, so this would have to do. From Jordan, Frankie. To Moochie, Zack. Sent April 20th, 11:46 p.m. Subject, leaving the party. Zack, my apologies for leaving so abruptly, but something has come up that I have to tend to. Norm will drop me off, then come back to get you. Enjoy yourself and don't rush. He'll be outside when you're ready to leave. Sorry I didn't get a chance to say goodbye. Frankie. I stared at my phone, my thumb hovering above Bree's name, wanting so badly to call my assistant and tell her what had happened. But that would mean I'd have to tell her about the office, about Derek touching me, about how I'd fled. Though I usually told her everything, I wasn't ready to admit the feelings I had for him, feelings I'd been keeping secret. Derek was a client, and clients were off-limits. Securing his contract would be my way of showing my father how much of an asset I was to his business, in hopes of having him turn Jordan International over to me. If my father suspected I was getting involved with Derek, those plans would be derailed. Even if I was willing to take that risk professionally, I wasn't sure I was ready to fall into a relationship that heavy again. And I didn't trust myself not to, given the chance. But was that something Derek even wanted? After tonight, I wasn't sure where I stood. With anyone.
2. Derek. I checked my text messages as I stood outside the motel door, just to make sure I had the right room. My coordinator, Will, had sent me all the details of this meeting he had arranged before I left Timber Towers that morning. "You're late," Tamara said, opening the door before I had a chance to knock. My eyes ran the length of her. Quickly. Most men would find Tamara hot. An attractive face, a fake pair of tits, and a pussy that could really milk the cum out of you. But that's all she was. She had no substance, no intrigue. In other words, she had nothing on Frankie. There was traffic. I stuck my phone back in my pocket and caught her by the wrists as she reached for my neck. "You know better," I growled, holding them above her head. "You're only allowed to touch me when I give you permission, and I haven't." Tamara played realtor for Randy White, the man I was trying to destroy for the damage she'd done to my family. Whenever Tamara gave me pertinent information on Randy's dealings, I rewarded her with my cock. But things had been different since I met Frankie, and my cock hadn't been inside Tamara since. I hadn't even gotten hard in her presence, though that didn't seem to deter her. She giggled at the way I bound her wrists, as if she enjoyed it, which made me want to release them.
"I know, baby," she said, "and I'm sorry, but I haven't been able to get you off my mind since the last time we were together."
Her eyes dipped to my waist, devouring me before they rose again. The meeting she referred to had taken place a little less than a week ago. It also happened to be the day I had met Frankie. An hour with that gunmetal-eyed beauty in her spicy mouth was all it took to know I'd never touch Tamara again. So instead of using a part of my body to get her off, my voice had directed her to rub her clit and finger-fuck her pussy. My dick made Tamara happy. I needed to keep her that way if I wanted her to continue fetching information for me. I released her wrists. "What did you find out?" She led me to the dresser, picked up her tablet, and held it so both of us could see.
"Randy's making an offer on the property in Hull."
She tapped a button and the offer letter popped onto the screen. I skimmed the first few lines.
"He's offering just under the asking price."
My sister, Hayden, had learned the seller on this particular property wasn't willing to negotiate. That made the seller a fucking idiot. The land wasn't worth what he was asking, which made Randy an even bigger idiot to propose the number he had. "Is he prepared to pay full asking?"
She nodded. "The investors aren't happy about it."
No surprise there. Anyone with a brain wouldn't be happy about it. Even if he purchased building materials from the cheapest manufacturer in Asia, he still wouldn't be able to steer himself out of the red. "They're trying to talk him out of it?" I asked.
"Worse."
She scrolled down until she reached the financial section of the offer.
"They've pulled their line of credit."
Hayden had a feeling that was going to happen once Randy's investors saw the comps.
"I tried telling them all how good of a deal this is," she added, "but they won't listen. You know how investors can get. They're too egotistical for their own good."
I had to stop myself from laughing at her and concentrate on the terms she had listed on the contract. The box for traditional financing was checked. "He's working with a bank?" She rubbed her lips together.
"A local one. I connected them. The branch manager is a good friend."
I noted the name of the bank so I could have Hayden look into them. Something told me Randy was likely offering the lender an extra point at closing that they would keep off the books. Or maybe he was paying off the appraiser, since without one, this deal wouldn't go through. "When are you submitting the contract?"
"I did it first thing this morning," she explained. "We gave the seller 72 hours. I suspect there will be a few rounds of negotiations, but the selling agent says he's motivated to get a deal done."
Of course he was. He'd found a sucker to pay his ridiculous asking price. I hoped Hayden and I could find something in this deal that we could use to take Randy down. With every closing, we were one step closer. We just hadn't been able to secure enough evidence yet. For being as dumb as he was, the motherfucker really knew how to cover his tracks. And I had no doubt he buried them under stacks of green.
"I'd email you a copy of the offer," she said. But if I got caught doing that, I could lose my license.
My knuckles grazed her cheek. She was hot and submissive, and so stupid. Showing me as much as she already had could jeopardize her license as much as emailing the offer to me. I wouldn't ask you to do that. You've done enough.
I hope that means you're going to give me what I've been dreaming of.
I cupped her cheeks, holding them tight enough to keep her from moving. You've been a good girl.
I have.
She pursed those plump, shining lips.
So come give my pussy some love.
My phone rang from my back pocket. It was Will's ringtone. His timing was perfect. My hands dropped from her face as I answered. Yes? I'm not interrupting anything, am I? He asked. Smartass. What happened? I took a step away to keep Tamara from hearing him and tried my best to sound alarmed. Acting wasn't one of my strengths, and neither was lying. Oh, you know, just finished my third cup of coffee, answered some emails. Julia has called twice since you left. That's about it. Hope I'm not too late. Fuck, I barked. I'll be right there. I shoved the phone into my back pocket and walked over to her again.
Is everything all right?
Fire alarm at the office. I have to go. I leaned into her neck, struggling from the smell of her skin and the feel of it under my hand. It was all wrong. It wasn't Frankie.
You owe me, she said. Big time.
I brushed my lips over her cheek. Not enough to be considered a kiss, just enough for her to feel a little affection. Then I moved to the door. I glanced over my shoulder as I opened it. You did good today? She winked.
I know.
I drove out of the motel's parking lot and called Will back. Did I time that right? He asked. Hope I didn't catch you in the middle of something you'll regret later. Nope. Couldn't have been better. Excellent. Tamara said I owed her, and I knew she'd expect to collect before she gave me any more information. I really needed to find a substitute for my dick. Have one of the assistants send Tamara a gift. Anything in particular? Something expensive, but nothing that sparkles. I want to send a message, but not that message. Got it. We hung up, and I pulled up my email at the red light, scanning my inbox for Frankie's name. There was nothing from her, no contact since last night when she ran out of that beat-up office I had dragged her into at the party. I thought of her body, the way it had felt in my hands, how her open mouth had begged me to kiss it. My hard-on grew. I couldn't shake the memory of her face when Reed had busted in. She was worried I would ruin her reputation, tarnish her career. She didn't have to worry. Our business was our business. I didn't want to ruin anything for her. All I wanted was to taste her cunt, to feel her tight wetness grip my dick. And once I had her, things could go back to normal. It'd be as if I'd never seen her naked, never had her juices coating my face, never heard her scream my name as I made her come again and again. At least that was what I was telling myself, because I wouldn't let myself have her. I wouldn't even let us get as close as we had last night. I couldn't. Hayden and I had a plan, and Frankie would be too much of a distraction. I'd gone down Relationship Road once, and I would never do it again. I'd watched Frankie pound a few shots before she left the party. She was probably still in bed, hungover. It didn't matter. We had dinner plans tonight, and I wasn't going to let her cancel. I waited in a line of traffic and started a new email. From Block, Derek, to Jordan, Frankie. Sent April 21st, 10:11 a.m. Subject, dinner. I'll pick you up at your office at 8 tonight.
3. Frankie. I was wrapped in my warm, fuzzy blanket with two cups of coffee on the table, a bottle of water, aspirin, and the TV remote. I couldn't move from the couch, which was fine. I didn't plan on moving anyway, not for a very long time. I kept my phone on the pillow next to my head, so I wouldn't have to shift anything more than my eyes to see the screen.
It had been lighting up all morning. It did again, this time with Derek's name. My stomach churned as I read his request. I hadn't forgotten about our dinner plans, but I was so apprehensive about it. We'd blurred the lines last night, and I couldn't let that happen again. But he was still a client, and still in possession of a lengthy and extremely significant contract that I wanted, no, that I needed, him to sign. So if he wanted dinner, that's what I had to give him. I selected Bree's number very carefully from my contacts, and winced as the ringing tone echoed through my head. "I've been waiting to hear from you all morning," she said after she answered. "How was last night?" I took a deep breath and swallowed the acid that filled my mouth. I knew that third shot of bourbon was going to send me straight to a hangover hell, but I hadn't expected to feel this rough. I hurt everywhere.
"You sound like death."
There was hesitation in her voice. "I talked to Zach this morning. He has your jacket, and he's going to bring it to the office on Monday. Do you want to talk about why you left the party so early?"
I wasn't feeling good.
"Does it have anything to do with Reed?"
I sighed. "Yes."
I told her how Reed pulled me into a corner at the party and tried to explain our breakup, or justify it, or apologize for it for all I knew. I wasn't sure which, since I hadn't let him finish. It wasn't the right place to have a conversation like that.
"But you do realize you'll need to have that conversation with him at some point, right?"
She was usually the sensible one.
"For your own sense of closure, if nothing else."
"Maybe." I swung my feet to the floor gingerly, rested my elbows on my knees, and held my forehead with my palm. "But I don't see that happening anytime soon."
"Zach told me Mr. Block was there too."
Her voice went soft. My chest began to pound even more, this time from the sound of his name. I'd felt it when I had read his email, and now it was even worse. He had such a hold on me. It had to stop.
"He was. Yes."
I wanted to tell her what happened in that office, how Reed had walked in on us before it went too far. But when I tried, the words wouldn't come out.
"Do you have plans tonight?" I asked instead.
"Nothing I can't cancel. Why?"
"I have a dinner meeting with Derek, and I want you to come."
We'd scheduled this dinner in his office for the purpose of discussing my team's marketing ideas. Was that still his intention, or had it ever been at all? "I know the team put together some initial concepts. Let's get those outlines printed, along with copies of the publications that we plan to run ads in, so we can view them."
"No problem."
I could tell she wasn't finished speaking. "So, are you going to tell me about the party now, or later? Or now?" That would have made me laugh if I hadn't felt so horrible.
"I will, once I stop throwing up."
I'd heaved when I woke up, so that wasn't completely a lie.
"Hopefully you'll be able to stop puking by tonight."
I leaned back into the cushion, bent my knees, and tucked my face into my thighs.
"Yes, hopefully."
Once my hangover died down, my nerves would take over. Either way, my stomach was going to be a mess.
"Oh my God, can you imagine if you threw up on the table?"
The sound of her laugh caused a sharp pain to stab through my head.
"I'm not wishing for it to happen, but I'd like to see the look on Mr. Block's face if it does."
"You're funny, and so supportive this morning. I don't think Derek would appreciate that at all."
"That's okay. I'll appreciate it enough for all of us."
She laughed again.
"Text me the details about dinner, and I'll be there."
I told her I would and hung up, but I kept the phone in my hand so I could reply to Derek's email. From Jordan, Frankie. To Block, Derek. Sent April 21st, 10:23 a.m. Subject, R.E. Dinner. "I'll be bringing Bree with me. Please let me know where you made reservations, and we'll meet you there. Frankie. I unrolled from the ball I was in and laid across the couch again, placing the phone back on my pillow. The station slipped across the TV screen, but I paid no attention to what I was playing on them. I couldn't get my mind off Derek. When we were in that office, my legs circled around his waist, his hands all over my body. The desire I had felt for him was scorching. I wasn't sure I'd ever wanted anything as badly as I had wanted him in that moment. Somehow, I had to bury those thoughts, those memories, those desires. "Derek Block is a client," I said out loud. Then I said it again, and again, and again, as if hearing the words come through my lips would trigger my brain to believe them, to believe he could be nothing more. My phone chimed. I took a deep breath and looked at the screen. From Block, Derek, to Jordan, Frankie. Sent April 21st, 10:25 a.m. Subject, R.E., dinner with you. Unless you want to give me your home address, I'll be outside your office at 8 p.m. I expect you to be alone. I should have known better. He most definitely wanted to talk about what happened at the gala, and he couldn't do that if Bree were there. That meant I would have to endure whatever conversation would inevitably happen tonight. Then I'd go home and give myself two fingers and a scalding shower, and I'd top off the evening with at least 8 hours of sleep. If only my head would stop spinning. From Jordan, Frankie. To Block, Derek. Sent April 21st, 10:26 a.m. Subject. Got it. I'll see you at the office. Frankie.
Four. Derek. I could tell Frankie was hungover by the way she staggered out of her office building. She was dressed in all black, with her hair in a high ponytail. Less put together than normal, but still as ravishing. I wanted to wrap those long, dark locks around my fist and pull her to me. The resistance she would show at first would be a turn-on. And then, as she became reacquainted with my touch, she'd melt in my hands. "Good evening," I said as she got inside my SUV. Her scent was much fainter than normal, but it was a scent I could almost still taste. "To you, too?" I handed her the travel mug from the cup holder. "It's a little late for this, but it'll help." She strapped the seatbelt across her body and stared at the mug. "What is it?" She twisted off the cap. "Oh, God, the smell. It tastes just as bad, but it will fix the way you're feeling." "How do you know the way I'm feeling?" I glanced at her, avoiding her eyes and looking straight at those savory, glossed lips. I'd recognize that look anywhere. "But you didn't know I was hungover when you were making this for me, did you?" Before I could respond, she said, "Don't answer that. Thanks for whatever this is." She was sick and hurting. I'd forgive her for having a little spice. "I saw how much you drank last night, Frankie." I looked at her mouth again before I turned at the stop sign. "I tasted the wine on you." "About that." Her body stiffened, tension radiated from her. I expected that she'd be insecure and unsure about what had happened in that office. "We don't have to talk about it." "I was hoping you'd say that." There was relief in her voice. "I'd like it if we could move forward and just forget what happened." "We don't have to talk about it yet." She pressed her cheek against the passenger side window, placed the mug between her thighs, and gripped the seatbelt with both hands. "Shit." I smiled, without letting her see it. My stunning little pink ivory. The cool of the glass was settling her. The belt was steadying her hands. I hadn't even begun. "Are you hungry?" I asked. "Not really." "You will be after you drink that. Trust me." She brought it to her mouth slowly, filling her cheeks before she swallowed. Her face scrunched, and she let out an unpleasant moan.
Do I want to know what's in it?
The recipe had been in my family for years. When my father had to go to work early on Saturday mornings, he'd drink that concoction instead of coffee. It restored him from the beers he had shared with my mother the night before. Those were the days I'd tagged along to the job site. I remembered the smell of it on his breath as I helped him unload the supply trucks. I shook the thought of him away and slid my hand down the wheel to turn on the signal. Nah, best that it remain a secret.
So where are you taking me? Hopefully I'm dressed appropriately.
I'd looked at her plenty of times since she'd gotten in my SUV, but my eyes had yet to meet hers. She hadn't been ready to submit to the heat of my stare. It was time. I started at her thighs, gradually traveling up her body, using the same speed my hands would if they were grazing her. When I landed on those fierce gunmetal eyes, she let out a soft gasp. "What you're wearing is perfect." True perfection would have been to have her undressed, her thighs spread wide over the seat, and my face buried between them. It wasn't time for that yet. She placed the rim of the cup between her lips, emptied it in one go, and set it back in the holder. "There are no words to describe how awful that tasted. Give it about 15 minutes and you'll be glad you drank it." I backed into a vacant spot parallel to the curb on the same side as the restaurant.
"Are we here?"
She glanced across the street and behind us. If she was looking for a sign, she wouldn't find one.
"We are.
What's it called?"
"The Hole."
That was what I called it anyway. She almost choked.
"Interesting."
I'd named it after my favorite place to be in. It seemed to fit given that was also my favorite place to eat. It wasn't the type of restaurant Reed Reynolds would take her, not stuffy or pretentious like him. I preferred restaurants without fluff, where there was nothing frilly or fruity covering my plate, just a slab of something rich and tasty, something I could really sink my teeth into. Not surprisingly, the Hole satisfied my needs. Frankie met me on her side of the SUV and walked beside me to the front door. I held it open for her, then led her to a booth that was in the back and away from the other diners.
"I'll be right with you, darling,"
a waitress said as she passed our table. Frankie's eyes traveled over the bar and across the walls. The decor was a little bit heavy metal, mixed with some country jams and a huge dose of redneck.
"How did you find this place?"
"The owner is a client."
Her brows rose.
"Really? You look surprised."
"I am."
She looked around again.
"Very."
The house I'd built the owner had set him back a few million, not including the six-figure lot that was directly on the water. When it came to his business, he preferred to keep things a little more raw and unvarnished. Wealth didn't always have to be sanded and glossed. The same could have been said of me. I had more money than I needed, and more splinters than I cared to admit.
"So you wouldn't expect to find someone like me in a place like this?"
She shrugged.
"Your clothes fit the rustic charm."
I crossed my arms over my chest, holding in my laughter.
"Not a fan of flannel?"
"Not really." "If I used a flannel to tie your wrists to my headboard, would you be bothered by it then?"
Pink filled her cheeks. "Derek!"
She no longer had an icy window next to her to cool down her skin. "If I poured wine all over your tight, quivering stomach and drank it out of your navel, would it matter if it cost $10 a bottle or $100?
"I didn't mean..."
Her tone changed before her voice trailed off. It was raspier, more sexual. I could almost smell the thickness of her desire in the air. "Because when I tie you up and lick every inch of your body, things like whether I'm wearing flannel or a $10,000 suit aren't going to matter. You won't be aware of anything other than my tongue. I promise." She leaned her head into the back cushion of the booth and closed her eyes. I felt the deep breath she inhaled.
"I need to be your realtor and nothing more. That's the only way this is going to work."
She finally opened her eyes. The look on her face didn't line up with her words. Agreed.
It doesn't sound that way.
When I went to